Books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote three epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life, turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The way a hymn is supposed to be sung. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you know what hymn this is?
No.
It's not the same melody, but it's Come Holy Spirit Come. No definite article, Come Holy Spirit Come. Would you like to know the lyrics to the version that I'm familiar with?
Sure.
Do you want me to keep the music this loud the entire time?
Probably not.
I'll hardly hear myself. This is Wretched Radio. Come Holy Spirit Come. Let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. And and Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I just broke out into spontaneous worship. I went looking for Come Holy Spirit Come because it's a classic hymn. This particular one, the one that I'm familiar with, written in 1784. Some people, not many, but some people have been singing this hymn now for 240 years? 241, if I'm not mistaken. And then the music was 1872. In other words, people before us believed in the third person of the Trinity. So when I went looking for it on the YouTube machine, this is the version that I found, although it's not the version that I think is the one that I'm quoting. And there were all of these Come Holy Spirit spontaneous worship sessions where it's just, we're just kind of riffing and flowing and somebody repeats the same phrase over and over again. This particular Come Holy Spirit Come, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 verses, because people used to write poetry and think about these things long and hard and take the time to present theologically rich understanding of our God so that we worship him rightly. Cheer our desponding hearts, thou heavenly paraclete. Give us to lie with humble hope at our Redeemer's feet. Revive our drooping faith, our doubts and fears remove, and kindle in our breast the flames of never-dying love. Well, now there's a phrase that's also been hijacked by the NAR. Anything that has to do with any sort of incendiary device or fire, we can't use that anymore because, well, the NAR kind of sets everything on fire. Have you noticed? There's a whole lot of fire in the NAR. Convince us of our sin. That's the role of the paraclete, to convince us and convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Then lead to Jesus' blood and to our wondering view reveal the secret love of God. And when it's set to God's ordained instrument of choice, it's a beautiful thing. 877-282-2337. Yes, I do expect you to talk.
I didn't want to step on the music.
I do it all the time.
I know. Don't worry about it. I'm a pro.
You're the radio professional, right? Exactly. Please send stuff to 877-282-2337. And if I could do a shout out, not for pipe organs in churches, but for our Truth and Hindered campaign. Hey, we're getting really close, although we could use some help getting to the finish line. It's a match campaign. It's big. It's a sizable one for this time of year. Dollar for dollar match so that we can close our store and start giving everything, all of our big resources. We give easily 90% of our stuff away already at the Fortis app, fortisplus.org. But now we want to give away all the Bible studies, all the resources. So we are trusting you to help us do just that. It's the Truth Unhindered campaign. We're going to start getting into all of these churches that can't afford stuff. They can even be churches that don't use pipe organs. That's right. We're willing to go even there so that people can have sound biblical resources. If you'd be kind enough to consider helping us with this match gift campaign called Truth Unhindered, you can do so at FortisInstitute.org/truth. You're on, Jimmy.
Okay. All right. This is a question from David. Todd, my wife and I got married 2 months ago at the ages of 22 and 24, respectively.
Way to go.
How do I encourage her to spend good time in the Word and in prayer because she works shift patterns, yeah, a mix of days and nights for 13 hours each shift?
Yeah. Be thoughtful, be smart, study her, and then lead it with enthusiasm. Hey, she gets up from the nap, whatever the dynamic is in your house, whatever the ebb and flow is, sort it out. And then when it's a right time, make it organic even. If the schedules are currently in a flux, and it's really difficult to get into that settled pattern, I get that. But don't take your eye off the prize. Keep your eye on the ball and keep pushing it. So when she's rested and you're just sitting there making, hey, let me share this. I was just reading this. And then just introduce it. And you be the persistent one. So I can't give you a do this at 8 o'clock and then do this at 3 p.m. And I don't think that's really what Christianity is all about anywhere. We're not a formulaic religion. We're a heart religion. So if the schedules are of a dynamic, I can't provide that for you. But I would encourage you, you're already thinking this through. You realize your responsibility and your role to be the spiritual leader. You got to persist. You just got to keep doing it. And when she, like, if you try something like that, You're sitting around sipping coffee and she's like, you know, honey, when we have coffee, can we just talk about the stuff that we've got to deal with today? Okay. And then figure out another way and find another time and just keep going. Now, if you get to the point where you've kind of exhausted everything, then I might suggest you could start talking to her in a time when it's conducive. Hey, honey, you know how I've been trying to, you know, read the Bible together and such, and it doesn't seem that you want to be doing that. How come? Do I have that right? I mean, I don't want to accuse you of anything. Do I have that right? So what do you think that we should be doing so that we can be spending time in the Word together? And then let her speak and get it sorted. My encouragement to you is to not give up. Keep trying to figure it out. And I will tell you this, that is being more manly than going into the woods and shooting anything that moves and dragging it out. I'm telling you, this is the stuff of Christian masculinity, because this stuff is hard. You're tired too. And you feel like she should just jump on board and that should be the end of it. And it's always smooth sailing. Well, it's not. And not forgetting to make this a thing, that's hard. So persist, dude. You're young. You're already on track. Well done. Keep it up. 877-282-2337.
All right, this next question's a doozy. It's a text from Ashley.
I'm really, you know what, Jimmy? Mm-hmm. Can I just publicly thank you?
Oh, you're welcome.
For bringing the doozies with 2 and 3 minutes left?
I do that on purpose.
So that I'll just shut up.
That's right.
Yeah, get to it and make it snappy. All right.
This is from Ashley. Todd, I love the MacArthur Study Bible, but
I knew that was coming. That just your intonation.
I happen to disagree with a few of the study notes. Does that make me a heretic?
Yes. It depends on the issue, of course. You're gonna disagree with stuff in there. But I'll tell you, for my money, there is just no better study Bible that's out there that will teach you more, that it will equip you better, that will help you to understand the scriptures, that will bring illumination. I encourage you, if you've never gone through this exercise, get a MacArthur Study Bible, whatever translation you prefer, NASB, ESV, whatever, as long as it's more of the formal equivalent instead of a functional liberal message. Can you imagine the MacArthur? You know what would be like one of the meanest things that you could do to somebody who worked at Tyndale or Zondervan? Put the MacArthur study notes into the Message Bible. They would just ultimately jump off of a bridge. I don't see these words anyplace. What word is he talking about? Because that's not what MacArthur used. Is that word even in the Bible? They would just go absolutely ballistic. So get yourself a more conservative, formal, equivalent translation and then commit to reading the entire New Testament, any order you choose, one book at a time, but read every single footnote as you go. And when you're done, you'll know more than most pastors. Ha! 877-282-2337. Just returning the favor, buddy boy.
Okay, this is from Latimer. That's his name, Latimer. It's a text. Todd, do you...
L-A-T-I-M-E-R?
Latimer, yeah.
Like as in Ridley and Latimer.
Latimer. However you want to say it.
Well, in Latimer, he was an Anglican bishop. He was set on fire, courtesy of Queen Mary. And he's the one who said, play the man, Ridley. This day will light such a torch as will never be put out. And he was right as they went up in flames together.
I read that somewhere recently.
Did you read Play the Man?
I think I did.
Oh, you probably did, didn't you? Yeah. You know what? Okay, here's more whining. Get ready. Here it comes. I'm going to whine anyway. I have to read that book. I know I wrote it, but reading is hard for me. Okay, it's hard because I can't concentrate that long and stay that focused on making sure that it just sounds like I'm reading and not riffing. So my burdens, if you'd help me shoulder them and send stuff to 877-282-2337, and we'll get to Mr. Latimer next on Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hold on for a moment, Mr. Latimer. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I shared that there were 8 verses of Come Holy Spirit Come, using words like paraclete, talking about turning our eyes to Jesus, convicting us of our sin. 8 stanzas. So then, I don't know why I pushed the button in my Googler machine, and I've got the new version of Come Holy Spirit Come, and I'm not kidding. So maybe to help us fully appreciate that, let me just repeat one more time some of the lyrics from the old hymn, from the, what did I say, 1787
hymn? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that what it was, 1787? Holy. All right, so here's a sample. These are the ones that we didn't read. "'Tis thine to cleanse the heart, to sanctify the soul, to pour fresh life in every part, and new create the whole. If thou, celestial dove, thine influence withdraw, what easy victims soon we fall to conscience, wrath, and law. No longer burns our love, our faith and patience fail, and sin revives and death and hell our feeble souls assail. Dwell therefore in our hearts, our minds from bondage free. Then we shall know and praise and love the Father, the Son, and thee." That was written 240 years ago. Here's the modern version. It's a different tune. "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And abide within us, rest upon us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We thank you for your presence, for your power, your glory. We need your presence. We need you. Holy Spirit, fill this place. We need your presence. We need you. We need you. Yes, Holy Spirit, fill this room." Charles Spurgeon spoke of a downgrade controversy. I think we've just experienced another one. 877-282-2337 is the text number if your name ends with Latimer.
And this is from Latimer. Todd, do you think there are copies of Scripture in heaven?
Copies of Scripture in heaven? Hmm. Well, I don't know how many physical things are currently in heaven besides Jesus. But on the new heaven and the new earth, his word endures forever. I know that our faith will become sight, but his word, because it also says it will endure forever, I think we're going to have Bibles. And we're going to have more revelation. We're going to have a greater understanding of God than we've ever even imagined. But because this book is so cherished, we love it so much, why would God take it away? We'll study it better than we ever did. And get ready. Wow, this could get me in big trouble. You won't need the MacArthur Study Bible.
Oh, so Ashley's not a heretic.
So I think so. Can I say definitively? Yes, I'm a talk show host. Okay, Jimmy, you said that there's another study Bible besides the MacArthur Study Bible that gives it a run for its money.
Oh, well, that I enjoy. Yeah, it's the ESV Study Bible.
So you don't use the MacArthur Study
Bible? No, I use them both.
Ashley's got lots of company today. But you like it?
The ESV, yeah, it's got 20, 30,000 study notes in it. It's really, really thorough.
Do you ever use the NET Bible?
I don't.
It's fascinating. Got to be careful because you don't know who the contributors are. So it's a little like Wikipedia, but it's a Bible that it has 2 types of notes. One, I think it's TN and SN. Study note and textual note. One deals with grammar. The other deals with maybe is the context of the verse and interpretation, and those types of issues. And it's got just tons and tons of notes. And it's a lot of work, but I always find that there's something that was absolutely worth the effort because it's a lot of people that provide insight. So just like thousands of contributors to it, Greek scholars, yes, pastors, theologians, and they put those study notes then in. And again, you want to use it with some discernment, then you might want to eat the meat and spit out the bones. But I actually find it to be very helpful. It's one of the things that I will do, one of the last things that I will do before I put a sermon to bed. I want to read through those notes and just see if it's like, oh, wait, oh, wow, miss that nugget. The NET Study Bible. If you hate John MacArthur. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Bill. Todd, I am in the military and in a position of authority. I have the ability to fire and move people and have done it a lot in the past. Now I am saved and being sanctified, and I struggle with how to represent Christ mm-hmm. yet still remove inefficient workers from my team.
Well, you're not doing anything wrong by doing that. Then that's actually a godly thing to do. If somebody isn't performing and delivering on their responsibilities, it is right to move them or to even fire them if necessary. That's not a sinful thing. It's how you do it. That's what can make it a sin. Terminating somebody's employment or their military career, that's not necessarily sinful. That's doing what you're charged to do. Do it lovingly. Do it. Here's a word that will guide you. This helps me regularly, especially when maybe I'm a little bit, agitated by something maybe that somebody's done and my heart isn't quite ready. I think of the word discipleship. Disciple them. You're not trying to be punitive. You're not trying to somehow make them feel bad. You want to grow them. So you want to help them. And even if that means, I'm sorry, we're going to have to end our relationship. That if it's done in the spirit of I'm trying to help and grow and encourage and undergird and disciple, now then I don't think you're sinning at all. So use the word discipleship perhaps to guide you. But I will say this, I don't know how I would handle this because, and I could be wrong about this, if you're a military guy, send a note to 877-282-2337. A part of the military is breaking somebody down to build them back up. And it's not a stereotype. You know, it's that barking, it's that yelling, it's the demeaning of the new recruits. I personally, now maybe you got a way to sort that and figure that out. And I know that that's the job to do that for a goal of then breaking them down and building them up. And maybe it's not even like genuine, but I don't know how a Christian soldier could talk like that to another soldier. I can't put that one together. Firing, demoting, that I can handle. Barking at them and saying nasty things to them. 877-282-2337.
You know, I have been discipled by you more than anywhere in my life. Is that why we meet so much? Because I mess up so much?
I didn't want to just put it out there like that. But
all right, this is from a
knock. What are you doing after the show, brother?
We need to have a meeting. This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, can one preach truth and still not give glory to God?
Sure. You bet. Fleshly preaching, prayerless preaching, a lack of understanding the responsibility and the role and what the goal of it is. And I don't think a sermon is even as well crafted as it might be. Even if the sermon, I think, is... I'm going to use a word in a moment here that's going to make you go, wait, what? But even if a sermon that is beautifully written to glorify God, if it is not delivered from a heart of a man who is a servant who desires to show people Jesus, it will not be as God glorifying. Why? Because preaching involves unction. It involves surrendering yourself to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit of God to bring a word to God's people for God's sake. Not for one's own aggrandizement or receiving kudos and accolades when the sermon is done, or just because the guy's been lazy. And so it's super important for pastors, and what that looks like for each pastor is different, but preparing your heart for the message is really important. And having said that, I also want to remember too, preparing for the, like getting your heart ready for the sermon, that shouldn't start on Saturday night or Sunday morning. It really is just more of a focus on the particular task, but your entire life is dedicated to glorifying God. My entire existence is about glorifying Jesus Christ. And now that is true, by the way, whether you're a pastor, preacher, or not. And the more you are thinking and disciplining yourself to think that way, the less time will be required in preparing your heart. Why? Because your heart is prepared. Because that's just your heart. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, do angels
Hurry up.
Have free will?
Hurry up.
Do angels have free will?
Do they have free will?
Yeah.
Kind of reticent to answer that, because that's asking a human question about an angelic being, and we're not exactly the same. But having said that, let's give it a go, because I don't think we have a verse that indicates they've got free will, or they used to and they don't now, but they must have, because a third of the angels chose to follow Satan and disobey. So they must have had something of a will. Now, the two-thirds that remain, we have no indication of the Bible, because we know the rest of the story, courtesy of Revelation. They're not going to rebel against God. So do they have a will, a free will, if you will? The answer is don't know. I think a more important question is, what about us? Will we be able to choose to follow Satan in heaven? And the answer is absolutely not. Don't you panic about that. I know some people do. Could I be the first person who sins in heaven and disobeys and gets booted? And the answer is no. No, you can't. No, you won't. And best of all, no, you won't want to. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.